Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast Tuesday edition. I am Sterling Holmes, no Matt Connor. Matt Connor's on vacation or something, just basking in the sun. At least it's nice here in Kansas City. I can't complain too much. So thank you guys so much for joining us. I'll be joined by Tucker D. Franklin shortly. Tucker Franklin from KC Sports Network. Going to be a lot of fun. Angry drunken German already saying, guests, damn, I better put my pants on. Come on. We're going to have fun today. Going to be a blast. Shout out to anyone who's joining us on Twitch as well. Shout out to Richard and Hunter, our producers, getting Twitch up and going. If you know me, I don't know really what Twitch is. I'm too old, I think. I'm past the cutoff of knowing how it works, but I appreciate anyone who joins us on there. Shout out to Phantom as well from California, from the OC. I don't know if they still say OC. Every time I say OC, I think of Arrested Development, and they say OC. We don't say that. We're going to have a great time today. Going to be a lot of fun. And if you're there with us, the best way to have a lot of fun is with KC Beer Company. Some breaking news. Got to get to you. If you've heard this before, it's not breaking anymore, but it's breaking to us. KC Beer Co. said they would never release an IPA, but they brewed one so good they broke their own rules. It's called Never Say IPA, and it's the newest beer and their first IPA to hit the KC Beer lineup. The beer is a celebration of German and American brewing traditions, using both German and American hops, as well as German malt and yeast. Y'all got to try it. You have to go and try it. Find it wherever you get your KC Beer Co. here in Kansas City, Kansas, or Missouri. It's another great beer from the award-winning brewery with a great selection of lineups and brews from Dunkel to Hefeweizen to Pils Light, and now they have the Never Say IPA. 21 plus, drink responsibly. I'm telling you right now, go get that IPA. Absolutely delicious. Sean in the chat saying these guys take a lot of vacays. Sean, I'm always here, baby. These other guys might take a lot of vacays. Not this guy. I'm right here. I bust my ass on a day where there's massive Chiefs news. I'm being facetious. Not a lot of Chiefs news. Let's be real here. The biggest name right now, the biggest thing going on is the ability to wear zero as a number. Yeah. When wearing zero as a number is one of the biggest things. Not a lot. But I want to get into some key losses for Kansas City. I want to look at some of the replacements for Kansas City and where do they go from here. I'll take a deep dive with Tucker. He'll be on here shortly. But here's what I have to say. With Orlando Brown Jr. being gone, with Andrew Wiley being gone, with Juju Smith-Schuster going to the Patriots, with Mecole Hardman going to the Jets, with Juan Thornhill going to the Browns, with Michael Burton going to the Broncos, with Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap still unsigned, with Colin Saunders going to the Saints, there is a lot of uncertainty this year. This is not the same thing as the run it back year from the previous few seasons. It's not running it back anymore. It's going to be a situation where you have Mahomes, where you have Chris Jones, where you have Travis Kelce. That's your core three. Outside of them, there are going to be a ton of moving parts. It's what the Patriots did. It's how they were able to have so much success for so long, right? You have a longer window when you keep your three core guys, two core guys, whoever you want that to be. For them, it's Gronkowski, Tom Brady, whether it was a slot guy and Julian Edelman, they always found a way to get it done with all these rotating pieces. Kansas City is going to do the same thing. What I'm intrigued about is how they fill these holes. Now, the Chiefs, the past few offseasons, they've shown us they're going to get younger, they're going to get more cost-controlled, and they're going to probably fill it with rookies. As much as we want here to – as much as we want DeAndre Hopkins, as much as we want a splashy move, I don't know if Brett Veach does that. I see Kern Slayer says, did we sign D-Hop? Not yet. And I don't think the Chiefs do. As much as I would like that, the Chiefs aren't going to part with a top 100 draft pick. While the Chiefs have a plethora of draft capital, when you are in the same boat as where the Chiefs are right now, you're not going to spend top 100 draft picks. You're not going to trade those away. You need cost-controlled impact players. You find that in the draft, and you typically find that in the top 100 draft pick, right? So I don't see this happening unless the DeAndre Hopkins trade is for a fourth, a fifth, or sixth. I don't see a legitimate move happening. I would like DeAndre Hopkins. If he gets traded to Kansas City, you better believe I will celebrate with the rest of you. I'll be thrilled, but my head is telling me it's not going to happen. And what Brett Veach has shown over the past couple seasons is probably a little unrealistic. What I will say, Odell Beckham Jr. makes a little more sense. And the reason why is you're not paying debit and then you're paying credit, AKA you're not going to give up draft capital and then going to pay the guy a large sum of money as well. DeAndre Hopkins has about 34 plus million left on his current contract, a contract that he already says he wants to renegotiate. He wants to be there longer. Now, that's a little worrisome for me. Odell Beckham Jr., while he's at his certain age, I'm not saying he's young, you're not having to give up draft capital to bring him in. And realistically, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a lot less expensive than DeAndre Hopkins. I see a lot of y'all in the chat, and you're talking about Chris Jones, right? You're talking about how we want to see an extension for Chris Jones. If you bring in DeAndre Hopkins, that makes it that much more difficult to extend Chris Jones. Now, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Chris Jones, or would you rather have a wide receiver one in DeAndre Hopkins? I think the majority of you folks would say Chris Jones. I think that's the smart answer. Chris Jones, in my opinion, still has 3, 4, maybe 5 more great seasons left in him. That's the way I would go. The Chiefs have just shown us they don't need an elite wide receiver one to win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying go into next year with what they currently have. I'm not saying there's not room for improvement. But what I'm saying is you don't have to go out and spend top dollar on a wide receiver. Mahomes makes everyone better. Now, I love Kadarius Toney. Very high on Kadarius Toney. But I don't think he's a legit wide receiver one. I don't think he goes into next year currently as wide receiver one. The reason being, he's not shown the ability to stay healthy for a full season. I love Kadarius Toney. Nothing against him, not knocking him, but you have to have availability. And until he shows he can stay healthy, he's going to be just a great piece. He'll be a great piece. I will also point out, Brett Veach knows what he's doing. Brett Veach isn't just sitting here in the same boat we are. Brett Veach isn't sitting back on his hands saying, I hope something comes up. Let me think of something. No, he has a plan. There is something in place. What it is, we can only guess at the moment. DeAndre Hopkins is a little too expensive in my boat, but what about a younger guy? What about someone who might be similarly expensive, but who fits the youth movement that Kansas City is currently on? Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk from the 49ers. The 49ers have already given a lot of money to Debo Samuel. They obviously have a large contract in Christian McCaffrey. What I will say is getting out from Jimmy G's contract, having two QBs on a rookie deal, that behooves them. But they're still bringing in guys like Javon Hargrave, right? They have a lot of money tied up in that defense with Tre'Davious Ward even. I wonder if Brandon Ayuk could be on the move, a guy who's going to want to have a new contract come up. I believe actually Matt Verderam on Thursday's show brought this up, but I think it's a good point. Just because we looked at the list of free agents and that list is not good, when you're talking about Richie James, when you're talking about Kenny Golladay, you're talking about N'Keal Harry, it's not a great free agent class. but there could be a trade in place. And again, I think Brandon Ayuk would be a very interesting, intriguing move. Another guy I would think could be fairly intriguing is Denzel Mims from the New York Jets. Denzel Mims is 6'3", little over 200 pounds. He was a second-round draft pick out of Baylor. Now, a lot of my film analyst friends, Daniel Harms, if any of you know Daniel Harms from RGR Football, extremely good at what he does. He was very high on Denzel Mims, but Mims has not had a great opportunity in New York. Now he's stuck behind Mecole Hardman, Elijah Moore. He's stuck behind a lot of talented wide receivers, including Alan Lazard. I wonder if Denzel Mims could be potentially on the move. The Chiefs only have one real big-bodied guy, and that guy is MVS. Denzel Mims seems to be a good player to bring in. Denzel Mims is someone I would take a look at.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I see someone in the chat, Todd Rodgerson, Michael Pittman Jr. I would love to talk about Michael Pittman Jr., but before we do, Tucker Franklin. Tucker, how you doing?
Buddy, I am doing great. As you know, Sterling, a good party never starts on time. So we had to make sure that I was a little bit fashionably late sitting in traffic on, you know, 'tis the season for some construction going on around the Kansas City area, but great. I'm excited that you invited me on to talk some Chiefs football. A lot of stuff going on that we could talk about, and I'm excited to get into it.
I will say this. No one has ever seen Creed Humphrey and Tucker Franklin in the same room. I'm sort of convinced you are Creed Humphrey, but you rock the Kiss-style heels. Like, you get those 6-inch Gene Simmons-esque heels on, and that's what really makes you Creed Humphrey. I'm fairly convinced.
Yeah, it's leg lifts. You can't see them in the cleats, but if you ever saw Creed and I in the same room, no, you didn't. Because yeah, it's actually incredibly weird when I saw him in person and be like, whoa, like I thought that was me for a second, but at training camp. So no, it's flattering to be mentioned in the same breath as Creed Humphrey.
Well, we're talking offseason here. We were mentioning the wide receiver class. We'll start there, obviously, with Juju Smith-Schuster being gone, Mecole Hardman being gone. Justin Watson is still a possibility. Justin Ross, I know we saw a video of him running up a hill, and that means he's going to go for 1,000 yards, obviously.
Yep.
But What I will say, the free agent class isn't great, but we know Brett Veach has a plan. We know at a similar time last year, we didn't know what the wide receiver class was going to look like. We didn't know what the team was going to look like. And we found moves that ended up winning a Super Bowl. Now, to me, you're obviously going to hit some guys in the draft, but what about a trade? Some trade opportunities exist out there. We were talking about Brandon Ayuk. I know Michael Pittman Jr. is obviously a hot topic here in Kansas City, just based on how fun he would be. A guy I'm looking at that I think is a real possibility is Denzel Mims. Any of those guys intrigue you? Do you have a name that you're thinking of off the top of your head? What do you believe could be a good move here?
Well, I do think that obviously the big one, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, Nate Taylor wrote the article saying that it's kind of unlikely. I think that would be fun. Odell Beckham Jr. would be another one that I think would be a really fun one. But I think Odell probably still remains at the top of the list. And look, I understand people's hesitations with Odell. Right. He tore the same ACL twice. That's not a great thing. He's coming off the injury and he's had a long time to rehab this injury. He's kind of older on the older side. Brandon Ayuk obviously would be a fun one. Price tag's probably a little bit higher than what an Odell would be. And if I had to guess right now why we haven't seen the Chiefs, you know, make a move or kind of sign anyone in this free agency market, you know, it wasn't a huge marquee free agent class when it came to the wide receivers. Right. But we didn't really see the Chiefs offer get close to what we thought it would be for Juju Smith-Schuster and other wide receivers towards the top of that market had gone kind of in the same range of that price range. And the Chiefs didn't really want to play there. So part of me, and now this is just speculating, a part of me thinks that they might be up against money a little bit. So even if you do trade for Brandon Ayuk, you're going to have to extend them. If you trade for really DeAndre Hopkins, you're going to have to extend them. You're going to have to do a lot of this contract stuff. And I think that's what the tough part is, right? You run into some money issues, whether it's cash on hand for signing bonuses, stuff like that, whether it's cap space, you're going to run into stuff like that. And I think that it'll be fun. Like, obviously I want the Chiefs to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. That'd be so fun. I want the Chiefs to trade for Brandon Ayuk. Imagine Patrick Mahomes and Brandon Ayuk, what they could do in that offense. That would be incredible. But I think the sometimes you have to hit the reality button sometimes and think, well, they might be up against it a little bit money wise. So what can they do with this money? How can they sign a veteran wide receiver and get a veteran wide receiver in this room? Because I really think they need one. If you look at this room right now, they need a guy who can kind of take some pressure and make Kadarius Toney not feel like he has to be that number one wide receiver, or Sky Moore feel like he has to be that number two receiver, or really even for MVS to feel like he has to be that number one receiver. So there's a lot of interesting stuff in the wide receiver room going on, and there's some names been thrown out there. But I would anticipate the Chiefs to kind of lay low for a while, and especially in the wide receiver market, see how it plays out. And after the draft, man, I would anticipate something happening. I know it sucks to wait until after the draft for that, but I think that's probably the most likely scenario.
Yeah, we're impatient, okay? Right. We're not patient people. It's not my nature. I have $7 I'll throw in. I'll throw $7 to bring in a veteran wide receiver. I'm sure that'll work and cover it. Yeah, if I had my druthers, I think it'd be Odell Beckham Jr. because you're not paying debit and credit, as I mentioned earlier before you got on here. I'm not huge on DeAndre Hopkins based on age, contract, the acquisition cost to bring him in. I just think the draft capital, you're not getting him for less than top 100 draft pick. And I think the Chiefs at this point, what they're trying to do, they're never going to have a very high first draft pick. You want to get as many as you can in the top 100. That's your best bet of getting long-term cost controlled, good talent, you know, week one, or ability to play week one, game one. They need to keep those top 100 draft picks. So I don't think DeAndre Hopkins. I like Odell Beckham Jr. I think the knee isn't big of a concern in my book. My understanding was the first knee never recovered. Apparently, it was a matter of time before this was going to happen. It was a ticking time bomb, and it happened. So this could be maybe for the best for Odell Beckham Jr. Now he actually has a chance to fully work out. It's a full year now from the actual ACL tear. That's good news. And then again, I think the draft for sure, but I'm really intrigued by Denzel Mims and then Richie James. Richie James is a free agent. I've talked about it a decent amount on this show, on the radio show. So bear with me for those in the chat who've heard me talk about Richie James. But he takes the pressure, in my opinion, off Kadarius Toney. Not only can he be the punt returner, kick returner, but he can run those Mecole Hardman-esque plays. He can run the gadget plays, and that way Kadarius Toney can focus on getting healthy and running the wide receiver routes. Richie James was the de facto wide receiver one at the end of the year for the New York Giants. I get it. That's not saying much, but if you saw the Giants wide receiver room and you saw what Richie James was doing, you would be intrigued too. I guarantee you not many people were watching their games, but as a fantasy football truther over here with Richie James, he carried me to the fantasy football playoffs, okay? I just think Richie James would be cheap. He's 27, and he takes the pressure off of Kadarius Toney. What are your thoughts?
I think that's an interesting one. Sterling, admittedly, I didn't know you were that high on Richie James. And I haven't really heard that name be thrown out there all a whole lot, but I think that it makes sense when you come to that. But I really think it comes back to the whole crux of you want someone to take pressure off of Kadarius Toney. And I think Kadarius Toney is the biggest one you want to take pressure off of just because of, you know, his injury history. That's not a big surprise there. He's a little injury prone, obviously, with the Giants, and even coming with the Chiefs, he played in a couple games, missed a few games, and then came back and played in a few games. You want to see that health get on the right track. And I don't know if you can necessarily feel comfortable relying on production that you need from Kadarius Toney at this moment. And I want to shout out a comment there. I forgot who brought it up there, but the Chiefs really are in a good spot right now. We're talking about a luxury right now, right? We're talking about something to bring on top of the Chiefs wide receiver room to kind of ease the pressure a little bit, right? The Chiefs were fine without Tyreek Hill last year. They didn't miss him a single bit. They were still the leading offense in the league. But no, I do think that is it's interesting that you bring up Richie James. I need to more look into him. I need to look into him a little bit more.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the tackles now. Spent a good chunk of time on the wide receivers before you got here, and I want to switch gears to the tackles. So Juwan Taylor brought in the right tackle from Jacksonville, $80 million, $60 million guaranteed, right? The expectation is for him to play left tackle, but it also opens up a lot of flexibility for Kansas City. You can draft your left tackle of the future if you want to put Juwan Taylor at right tackle. Now, I will throw the caveat out. That makes Juwan Taylor the highest paid right tackle in football. Yep. Not sure if you want to do that, but the flexibility obviously is a nice touch. Orlando Brown Jr. signed 4-year, $64 million. In my estimation, that's a bargain. I know some Chiefs fans aren't a Orlando Brown Jr. fan. I understand that. But you'd pay $16 million for his production. Over what he did the past 2 years, he was easily worth $16 million per year. Yeah. What do you make of this move? And are we a little looking through too much rose-colored glasses here about Juwan Taylor? Because at times I feel that.
Yeah, and I think we can be guilty of that. But I do think Juwan Taylor, if you look at just he's so different than what Orlando Brown was, right? He's young, he's athletic. Not saying that Orlando Brown is old, but he's a clearly athletic guy. He tested well. You saw the video circulating on Twitter of him and his workouts. You're just like, man, I mean, this dude looks like he's athletic. He played a little bit of left tackle for Florida. I think it was only a couple of games, but he played a few snaps there. And I do think that it's interesting the Chiefs are going with that strategy again, right? Of trading for a guy, signing a guy, getting a guy, bringing a new guy into the building, and then moving him to the opposite side of what he was on. You know, obviously Orlando Brown wanted to be a left tackle. I'm not sure if Juwan Taylor said he wanted to be a left tackle, but he's going to get moved to left tackle. And it's interesting that the Chiefs were so adamant about him being a left tackle, right? Because Sterling, you mentioned it. You put his contract up against right tackles. He's the highest paid right tackle. You put his contract against left tackles. He's like an average paid. I mean, I think he's up there, but he's above average in terms of left tackles. So if you're looking around, the Chiefs and Matty Lane said this on the KC Laboratory podcast. I believe that was last night. That feels like a long time ago. But he was talking about this last night. Kind of when it comes to the tackles is. The Chiefs must feel like that they have an answer at right tackle if they were so adamant that they wanted to move Juwan Taylor to left tackle. And I think that's interesting. And I think when you start to survey that and the reports coming out about them being so, yeah, he's a left tackle. He's going to play left tackle. they must feel confident in Lucas Niang playing right tackle. They must be feeling pretty confident in maybe Darren Kennard playing over there at tackle, but they feel like they have an answer there, at least to say, hey, he's going to play left tackle. But I do think Juwan Taylor is a guy who isn't going to give up a whole lot of pressures, right? 16 pressures in 17 games last season with a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who is a mobile quarterback, but isn't a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes that's good at avoiding pressure, or good at avoiding sacks, I should say. Patrick Mahomes was the most pressured quarterback in the league last year, and I believe was top three in sacks and least amount of sacks, if that makes sense. Yeah. So he was very good at avoiding the pressure. And with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, and we've seen Patrick Mahomes make offensive linemen make tackles better when it comes to Andrew Wiley, when it comes to Mike Remmers was a serviceable right tackle for a while there in Kansas City. So I think that they can be okay at right tackle. I would love to see them take like a Darnell Wright. Like that would be fun to have at right tackle and then have Juwan Taylor at left tackle. And you're starting to look at a pretty young offensive front there, sans Joe Tooney. But, you know, the bill is going to come due on both Creed and Trey Smith. Don't know if you're going to be able to pay both of them unless the cap booms significantly. And you can kind of pay both of them. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do moving forward with the configuration of the offensive line. Joe Tooney's contract is probably going to come up a little bit. They've got an out, I think, coming up here soon.
But the offensive line this year, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. So they could get out of that contract too, or rework it or something. And he won't be the highest paid guard. I can tell you that, because it's going to be either Trey Smith or Creed Humphrey, highest paid interior guy after that. But I do think Juwan Taylor, it's hard to not get excited when you watch him, right? I think that his athleticism is what makes me so excited. Specifically, when I see his athleticism from the right side, I see a guy that can convert to the left side. I mean, if Orlando Brown can do it, I think Juwan Taylor can do it just fine.
Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to how about those Chiefs and the folks loving the crossover. Yeah, it's a little KC Sports Network. How about those Chiefs and Arrowhead at a crossover. It's like when The Office and Friends and Seinfeld has all come together.
Yes.
You know, that's what this is like. Also, shout out Raymond Chandler for the super chat. Thank you so much. Just to say hi, guys, and appreciate you here and on Discord while I'm home with COVID. I feel better, man. I know I talked a little bit earlier on Discord, but that sucks. I hope you feel better. I know you got some KC Bierko. Thanks for driving. He drove 13 hours to pick up KC Bierko.
Oh,
if you want a reason why to get it and you're less than 13 hours away, that's why.
I love it so much, dude. And your Arrow Red Lager that you guys got. Oh, so good. I've Delicious. Had it a couple of times. It's very it's good. My favorite's the Hefeweizen. I love
Hefeweizen. Come on, Tucker. Why do you sound like you were 17 underage drinking it? Come on.
Listen, because I'm from the Midwest, dude. I'm not German. I don't got the V in the W.
Dry Hefeweizen.
There you go. Yeah. I gotta get the German going. If the Chiefs are gonna play in Germany, we gotta do some podcasts in German or something like that.
I can speak a little German.
Oh,
ein bisschen Deutsch. Ein bisschen.
Look at that.
See, I'm just saying.
Learn something new.
Send me, guys. Come on. Well, everyone chip in like $7 again. I don't know why it's $7 today, but chip in $7. Send me over to Germany. I'll do it. I'll rock it. I want to stick with the offensive line very quickly because I do think there's obviously a plan at right tackle. And I'm going to go through the list of free agents, okay? Here are the free agent right tackles currently. George Fant, okay. Billy Turner, Juwan James, Josh Wells, Marcus Cannon, Ty, I'm going to butcher your name, who's 37 years old, and Mike Remmers. Yeah, so not a great list of right tackles, right?
Correct.
So you currently have Lucas Niang, Prince Tagovailoa technically is a tackle.
Yes.
And then Darian Kennard on the active roster. Darian Kennard, I apologize if you've heard this before, but again, the caveat is the biggest news regarding Chiefs football today was that you can put the number 0 on your jersey. So we're going through all this right now. We're rehashing some of these things. Darian Kennard last year was moved to guard. Now, was that a versatility move? Or was that because he was not a right tackle? That remains to be seen. But I don't know if the Chiefs feel comfortable with what they have currently at right tackle. Drafting another guy in the draft leaves you some uncertainty. I was pretty confident the Chiefs were going to try and bring in a one-year guy at right tackle. But looking at that list, none inspire confidence. Right. I think I'd rock with Niang before I'd go with Mike Rimmers. Maybe Prince Tagovailoa is that guy. What would you do? Because again, that free agent class just is not good right now at right tackle.
Personally, if it was me, I'd probably draft a right tackle. Now, I don't know if that's at 31, and I don't know if that's and I want to also say that with a caveat. I'll draft a right tackle to compete for the spot. Right, I'm not going to say that the right tackle is going to come in and automatically be the starter. Because I think if you draft the right tackle and he can add competition to Prince, to Lucas Niang, and then a rookie, right? If you have a three-man competition for that right tackle spot and, you know, the rookie wins it or Prince Tega wins it or Lucas Niang wins it, I probably feel a little bit more confident after training camp knowing that there was a competition for it and they had a little bit of competition for it. But I just keep going back to the thought that Matty Lane had on the KC Lab podcast, and he brought this point up too, is that they felt comfortable enough to put Lucas Niang in the Super Bowl when Andrew Wiley came in and reported as eligible. You can't come back and report ineligible after that. So they put Lucas Niang in. Mm-hmm. They felt comfortable enough to put him in that situation. So the Chiefs must be comfortable with Lucas Niang. Now, I would love to see a right tackle. See, I go back and forth on 31. Because I really do like Darnell Wright. He's fun. If you haven't watched any of him, he's fun. We'll have some videos. Don't want to spoil anything at KC Sports Network. But about some of these prospects, kind of around that 31 spot. But the Chiefs have done a really good job every single year that Brett Veach has been the general manager of not tipping their hand, of not having a huge glaring hole going into the draft so you don't know what position they're going to take with the first-round pick in the years that he did have a first-round pick. So I think that's going to be really interesting, whether that's a first round tackle, second round tackle, maybe even a third round tackle. Listen, we saw Creed Humphrey, who was a second round guy. We saw Trey Smith come in, sixth round guy, come in and start right away. I don't think that it should be the expectation that the Chiefs take a guy and he comes in and starts right away. But I do think that the expectation should be a very open competition for that right tackle spot.
Yeah, I will still say I'm very high on Lucas Niang. He's my Adalberto Mondesi of right tackle, where I just can't find a way to give up on him. He can't stay healthy. But every time I'm sitting here going, yes, Lucas Niang, can't wait for this guy. He'll be 37 again, and I'll still be like, but what about Niang, fellas? What about Niang? I will say, with Creed Humphrey, I'm intrigued about the contract extension for him. I wonder if the Chiefs do extend him, but also they've not shown the concern to extend centers, right? Mitch Morse at the time was one of the best centers. The concussions, I think, played a factor in maybe why they didn't. Rodney Hudson was one of the best centers in the NFL. They said no. I just don't know if they're going to spend the money on a elite center. Well, I think Creed Humphrey might be in a little different category than those two guys. He certainly could be. You are probably looking at the highest paid center in the NFL when it's time to pay him. Do you think the Chiefs are seriously looking at Creed Humphrey being the highest paid center?
Well, I think you have to. I think that if you're the Chiefs and if that's what Patrick Mahomes wants, right? If Patrick Mahomes doesn't want to have another center, doesn't want to go through the rookie center again, I think you give Patrick Mahomes what he wants at the center position, because that's such a crucial exchange and such a crucial part of the game. And I believe I could be wrong on this, and I'm sure the chat will call me out if I'm wrong on this, but I think that like when Rodney Hudson left, he became the highest paid center in the league. And when Mitch Morse left, he became the highest paid center in the league. And again, as Sterling, as you brought it up, if Creed Humphrey leaves, he's going to be the highest paid center. I don't think that's really a debate anymore. And I think right now it's Jason Kelce signed a $14 million deal. I think Creed will clear that. Yeah. When the bill comes due, I would love for the Chiefs to extend him. It would make sense for the Chiefs to extend him, I think, too, just because of, as I mentioned, the crucialness of that relationship between center and quarterback, especially with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. You don't want anything like that. But again, Patrick Mahomes can probably make anybody good, right? So it's like one of those things where you could probably put another rookie center in there and be just fine and keep cycling them through. But it would be a whole lot more fun to have Creed Humphrey on this football team for a long time.
Yeah. Looking at Juan Thornhill going to the Browns, the Chiefs brought in Mike Edwards, the former Buccaneer. What do you make of this move? Do you think this is a one Thornhill replacement, nearly one for one? Do you think Brian Cook is going to become the starter now alongside Justin Reed? We obviously know the Chiefs love using a lot of three safety sets, so they're all going to get a lot of play. But what do you make of Mike Edwards? He's known as a ball hawk. He's going to be aggressive. The Marcus Peters-esque at safety. Not quite that talented, but that's the style. What do you make of this?
He's a guy who makes splash plays. So he's a guy that he's going to make those big plays, much like a Dan Sorensen, right? I know that name's kind of taboo to bring out there, but he's much like a Dan Sorensen where he's going to make those big plays in the times that you need him. And I think he's a good third safety, right? I think he's a good nickel dime, whatever package you want to throw out there with three safeties. You can throw him out there, but I think Brian Cook is really going to take that step up as and be that second safety in air quotes. And I think he'll be the starter for them in that base, really defense. And I think that's exciting. We saw Brian Cook really come into his own, in the playoffs. And I think that's been really exciting, really encouraging to see Brian Cook come along. And man, if you look at that secondary, you look at just the youth. And you can even throw in LeJarius Sneed, right? He's still on a rookie contract. He's still got 2 years left on a deal. The youth in that secondary is unreal. When you talk about the four corners that they drafted, the Brian Cook, Justin Reed's the old guy back there, and he's not really terribly old. I don't remember his age off the top of my head, but he's not terribly old. So it's really exciting on the defensive side of the ball just to see what they added. And Mike Edwards, I think, is a good accent piece to that, just like, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about him. But Drew Tranquil, I think Tranquil is a perfect accent piece to what the Chiefs have going on the defensive side of the ball. A signing that I was frankly surprised by when they announced the signing of Drew Tranquil. I didn't really think they were in the market for another linebacker considering their linebacker room already. But, you know, Darius Harris not being tendered kind of made sense for them to bring in another one. But I do think that defensive, and that kind of goes into it a little bit too, is I think that Drew Tranquil as a linebacker is a good coverage linebacker, right? I think that this kind of opens up what the Chiefs can do on the defensive side of the ball with formations, packages, all kinds of different stuff with passing downs and guys that can get after the ball, because we've seen Drew Tranquil make some really good plays on the ball, who's a guy who's got a nose for the football. Mike Edwards, another guy that's got a nose for the football. And these corners have proven to be ball hawks as well and really good on that side. So I'm excited to see what the Chiefs defense looks like, which is really... I talked about this a lot, Sterling. I might have talked with you about this on the radio, that I kind of anticipated the Chiefs to kind of go after the offensive side of the ball for free agency, the defensive side of the ball in the draft. And we've had a lot of conversation with the KC Lab guys about that too. And that's kind of the approach that we thought that the Chiefs were going to take going into it. It seems like it's going to be kind of opposite of what it's going to be, because they hit the defense pretty hard on the free agency. Obviously they brought in Juwan Taylor, but you know, bring in CO Charles O, is a big signing.
Don't
as
want
well.
To say his last name,
dude. Aminihu is how you say it, but I get so worried when I go to start to say his name because I don't want to butcher it. I just call him Charles O. It's just safe to do, and I'll probably say it on Twitter too because I don't want to type out his whole name and misspell it. And I'll have somebody in the comment section telling me that's not how you spell his name. But
yeah,
I think the defensive side of the ball is really taking a step forward.
I will say really quickly, LeJarius Sneed's actually on his last year
okay.
Of his contract, because he was not a first rounder. He doesn't have the fifth year option.
That's right.
But defensively, I want to talk about Drew Tranquil a little bit as well. This reminds me of the Golden State Warriors basketball, but in football. They're very versatile and almost interchangeable. Yeah. Drew Tranquil is so good at so many different things. He had 5 sacks last year, but he's also known as a coverage linebacker. You have guys like Leo Chanel who can play multiple aspects on a team. You have Mike Edwards, Brian Cook. Brian Cook can play a little bit of linebacker if you really, truly wanted him to. LeJarius Sneed can play inside and outside. The entire defensive line, we saw Chris Jones inside, outside. Charles Aminihu inside, outside. Yep. Mike Dana was inside on the NASCAR package, right? Yep. So they're building a very versatile defense. Maybe I'm a little bit overblowing it by calling it the Golden State Warriors, where it's the, you know, no set positions, right? But that's a little bit what the Chiefs defense feels like. You're going to have more set positions in football. It's just the way it is. You're not putting a safety at D-line. It's not going to work. But right. You get my point here. The versatility jumps off the page.
The lines definitely blur. when you're talking about safety to linebacker, and not necessarily linebacker to defensive line, just because, you know, that would change if they were at a 3-4. But the 4-3 definitely, especially you mentioned the defensive line they're putting together is so interesting to me, just because of the versatility from inside to outside on like all the guys that they have. And I feel like we've kind of forgotten a little bit about Tershawn Wharton, who's a guy that played a lot of inside, has a lot of speed, but I think I kind of want to see him on the outside a little bit. I kind of want to see what he can do. And I'm sure they'll mix it up to where you get a bunch of different packages with those guys going everywhere. But I do like that analogy of the Golden State Warriors, almost a positionless type of a football. And listen, we knew that Steve Spagnuolo likes these guys with versatility. He drafted guys who played safety and corner. Like, I think Legarius Sneed was a safety his final year of college at Louisiana Tech. He's drafted guys that have the ability to play both safety and corner. And we knew that in the secondary that he likes to do that with those guys. But now you're starting to see it with like the linebackers, right? Drew Tranquil is a guy that you can put on the field and really feel comfortable in a passing down. And there's not many linebackers you can do that with. So like, that's something that's super exciting, and a guy who can still hit, like he can hit with the best of them. And that's another thing about the Chiefs corners and the Chiefs safeties and the Chiefs secondary. These young guys hit, like they come up, they'll hit you, they'll wrap you up, they'll tackle you. Not something you see a whole lot. So I do think that, I really like that analogy of like positionless. Obviously, you know, you mentioned hard to be positionless in football, but it is a little bit like that of them saying like, hey, these guys can play whatever position, whatever role we need them to, and get after the football.
How big of a loss do you think Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, I guess technically both could come back, but the expectation is no. When you see the Kansas City Chiefs Twitter account tweet out, thank you for all you've done, Frank Clark, feels like they're moving on completely. Also, Colin Saunders signing that deal with the Saints, great for him, excited for him, but he's no longer. And by the way, the Saints are sitting here. They did it with Tano Passanio, and now they're doing it with Colin Saunders. It's pretty impressive. Like, we see glimpses in a guy from Kansas City. Let's go ahead and just get him on a decent sized contract. I don't get it, but good for them.
Yeah, I think they still have Dan and they have Tyron too. So they're like putting together the 2018 Chiefs defense is what they're trying to do. 2019 Chiefs defense.
Known great defense, by the way.
Right. It's interesting to say that. I'm super happy for Colin to get the contract that he did with the Saints. Wish it could have been in Kansas City. Obviously, as I mentioned at the top, it might be cap money type thing. It's business at that point. And he gets in the way of that, which stinks. But I do think Carlos Dunlap would be another addition that you probably won't see him sign anywhere until like the second week of training camp like he did with the Chiefs. Like the guys like that, Frank Clark, these guys aren't going to go to OTAs. These guys aren't going to go to phase one. They're not going to mess around. They're not going to sign anywhere until training camp starts. They're not going to do that. They're not going to go through all that song and dance if they do come back. So I'd like to see Carlos Dunlap back personally, just because I like the role that he had and kind of the ability that he was able to mix in with the defensive line that they had constructed there. Frank Clark would be another one that what I would love to have back. Would welcome him with open arms, obviously, if the price was right for both sides to make sense. And I do think that the Stevens line will look a little bit different. They're going to have to find bodies, right? Because like those are two guys right there in a rotation that you were kind of relying on pretty heavily in a defensive line rotation, whether that's they feel confident in Malik Herring, whether that's they feel confident in Joshua Kando, whether that's they feel confident in somebody in the draft. But again, we talk about this again, you're not going to find a blue chip edge at 31. You're not going to find a guy who is a TJ Watt, who is a JJ Watt at number 31. You're not going to find a guy who has high production. Now we can argue George Karloftis did have a lot of pressures last year. I think he came in and performed well for his draft slot. But you're not going to find a guy who is going to come in and be DPOY rookie of the year right at 31. And if you do, you found a stud, you diamond in the rough, you found it. Good job. Give Brett Veach the award for executive of the year.
Yeah.
But
that and 30 teams trucked up.
It doesn't happen. That does not happen very often, but there's some guys in there that I think would be fun if you put them in a rotation. And I think the really ideal spot right now that the Chiefs are in is the good spot. The Chiefs are in, I should say, is they're not having a guy that needs to be like a marquee edge, right? A guy who is like a headliner edge. You can put George Karloftis on one side, Charles Oh on the other side, feel okay. Like, you want to get some rotational guys in there now to get some bodies to throw waves at teams. That's what you want to do. That's kind of the trend now, is you want to throw waves of these defensive linemen at teams.
That's what the Eagles did. The Eagles were about eight, nine deep at D-line. Each of those guys brought something to the table. Really quickly, Wyatt Gibson, love this chat. Sterling, is the drumhead missing an H? It looks like it says Steel Panther. You are actually correct. It is missing an H. It says there's a tiny H above. What? It was a joke that the Steel Panther members, it's all signed by the members of Steel Panther. They thought it's funny, so it's Steel Panther, and then they add the H on later, which I found very, very funny. But I will say the line of Chris Jones, let's say Turk Wharton, Charles Oh, and then George Karloftis. On paper, those four are solid. I'm comfortable with those four, but you're right. It comes down from the depth. The depth is where the Chiefs need. Looking at the current free agents, whether it's D-end or just pass rushers in general on the outside, here are some names for you. Let me know if you're intrigued by any of these. Robert Quinn, who's now 32. Jadeveon Clowney, who's 30. A'shaun Robinson, who's 28. Calais Campbell, who's 36. Marcus Golden, M-I-Z, who's 32. Yep. And then Unique Ngakoue. Unique Ngakoue could be a relatively interesting one. He is only 27 years old. He's been very consistent his entire career, always more than 8 sacks in each of his seasons. Don't know if any of those guys do anything for you or are realistic possibilities for Kansas City.
Yeah, when I start to look at free agents, the Chiefs have shown that they have a trend of bringing in guys who are young, right? They're not going to bring in guys, you know, if they bring in somebody who's older, it's going to be closer towards camp after the draft, whatever. It's going to be closer towards the season if they bring in an older guy. So, like, especially this time of year, I like to look at the age and, like, youth guys. Like, DJ Chark, especially before he signed, was one of the guys that I kind of had my eye on because he was only 26, a wide receiver that they could probably get on a one-year prove a deal. He was a little hurt last year, played really well with the Lions when he – you know, he came back and basically the Lions turnaround was because DJ Chark was healthy. Obviously none of that matters now because he signed elsewhere, but that's what I look for when I see guys on the free agency market. And none of those guys on the defensive line really scream to me that I think that the Chiefs would go out and offer a multi-year deal to, right? And I think at this point you're looking at multi-year deals, right? I mean, Drew Tranquil and Mike Edwards signed 1-year deals, but especially for somebody like that, it's going to come down to money. And I don't know if they have like a 1-year, $3 million left in the tank that they can give to a defensive lineman, or if there's a defensive lineman on that list that would take a 1-year, $3 million deal. So it comes down to that. Nothing that I really think that what I think that would be some fun. Like, I think Yannick Ngakoue would be super fun with the Chiefs defense, but I don't know if the money makes sense for either side, which is, it's just the tough part when you have to weigh that. Like, I know it's so much fun, and we talked about this with wide receivers too, to talk about Brandon Ayuk and the trades and Laremy Tunsil. I saw someone throw Laremy Tunsil in there. We were talking about Laremy Tunsil trades even after the Chiefs signed Juwan Taylor. We were talking about those trades like that. And that would be so fun, but then you kind of have to say, all right, let's take a step back. Let's look at the money situation. And I think that's kind of what I find myself doing a lot lately, and almost almost raining on my own parade is what I'm trying to do.
Hey, I'm Mr. Realistic. That's why I said Richie James and Calais Campbell. Okay. I'm Mr. Realistic. I'm not DeAndre Hopkins and Unique Ngakoue. I'm Richie James and Calais Campbell. Again, I'm with you. Bringing these big name guys, you see the name and you want them to be here, but you can't have an all pro at every single position.
Right.
There's just no way for that to happen. And I know people always love to say they'll take money to win a ring. That's not the case. Right. You got to be realistic. There's a reason why Juju didn't come here the first time, came here the second time. There's a reason why you don't see all these wide receivers clamoring to come here, because they want the money. I get it. Uh-huh. I understand. I'm not blaming these guys. They want to win, but they like the money more. It's tough. You get offered $7 million or you get offered $3 million. Yeah. What are you taking?
I'm telling you every time I take the money. Like, I know a lot of people want to say, like, oh, hometown discount, A. Like, that's one that gets thrown around a lot. I don't know how much that really exists. And B, like, taking money, taking a discount for a ring, like, yeah, a ring is nice, but, like, I'm taking the money. I don't care. I don't know about you, Sterling, but like if somebody offers me, you know, $3 million or $7 million, I'm going to take the $7 million.
Wow. Why do you not want to win a ring? Tucker Franklin, noted loser, noted once to play for, I don't know, Houston Texans. Although I will say, I like what the Houston Texans have done this offseason.
It's kind of fun.
Laremy Tunsil, Dalton Schultz, they're going to draft a QB at 2. They're giving their QB some opportunity to not suck year one. I'll give them that. They won't be good.
No.
But I like what Houston's done this offseason. Let's get into this. Number 0. Anyone can wear it now except for offensive and defensive linemen, which ruins what I wanted. I wanted offensive linemen, just a big old boy to rock number 0. You're telling me Orlando Brown Jr. rocking 0 would not be hilarious?
That'd be awesome.
Who would look best in this number?
Colin Saunders, if he was still on the Chiefs. When that rule passed, I immediately thought of Colin Saunders, right? The Tom Pelissero tweet originally didn't have like all of the technicalities listed on it. And obviously like Colin Saunders doesn't play for the Chiefs anymore, but like that is the guy that I first thought of. I was like, man, if that guy could wear 0, that'd be so perfect. And he seems like a guy that would wear 0. I've seen a lot of Isaiah Pacheco's being thrown around with 0. He wore number 1 in college at Rutgers. I double checked that because I think I saw a Photoshop with him with 0 on and I was like, hey, kind of looks good. That kind of looks clean. Kadarius Toney is the one that Joshua Briscoe, big fan. He's been pining for Kadarius Toney to wear 0 for, I think, as long as it was like a thing that started to be thrown around. I think Kadarius Toney's probably the answer. I think that he would look fun in 0.
I have the real answer for you.
Okay.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. Ooh. Would look fire. If anyone was to rock it, it's him. It's like Gilbert Arenas, but make it NFL. Odell Beckham Jr. Or go 00, like Greg Ostertag.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think that they need to do. Open up 00. And if you had Greg Ostertag on your checklist for today's show, congratulations. That's a really good bingo right there.
When I played baseball back in my glory days, I was 00, and I was the catcher. I was a 00 catcher.
Yeah, that's tough, dude.
Yeah, I was no problem. No problem on this end.
I was 99.7 one year. 99.7. It was a radio station in Kansas City, so it was 99.7, which I found very funny. I guess we forgot one guy before we move forward. Michael Burton. Michael Burton's gone, going to Denver. They brought back Blake Bell. Do you think Blake Bell is the fullback in those handful of times they use a fullback? Do you think the Chiefs actually go out and draft a fullback? Do you think they're finally saying, we're done, this is not the way of the future, we couldn't pick up 4th-and-1s either way with a fullback, right. Let's move on? What's your take here?
I find it hard to think that Andy Reid is just going to completely give up on the fullback. But I do think maybe in those situations they will make Blake Bell the de facto fullback. Here's a fun one, though, Sterling. Michael Mayer, tight end from Notre Dame. How fun would he be in this Chiefs offense, right? I keep thinking about him. You probably have to draft him at 31 if he is there. He'll be gone before 31 probably. But if he is there at 31, it's going to take a little bit of a look because you could get some pretty fun 13. Look, we already know the Chiefs love 13 personnel, right? If you put him and Travis Kelce and Jody Fortson all on the field together, you're running. We've already seen Jody Fortson in jet motion before. We've seen him run a real route off of jet motion. Imagine what you could do with Michael Mayer and Travis Kelce, the one other wide receiver being like Kadarius Toney. That would be so hard to stop. Like, just that formation makes me just get so excited. But I don't think Michael Mayer will be there at 31. That's too bad. I think that Blake Bell coming back is a good signing. I always liked Blake Bell. He's reliable. He does the job that he needs to do. He's a very blue collar guy, right? Hard hat, lunch pail, goes to work, gets in. If he seems like one of those guys. First one in, last one out type of guy.
Yeah. How many more cliches you want to throw in there?
Let's see. I think I emptied the tank on that one. But I got them all in about Blake Bell.
Real student of the game. Yeah. Real student.
High football character. high IQ. High football IQ. No, he's I do like the signing. But
I like Raymond's in the chat, his thought. Blake Bell is the QB and those Eagle type third and ones, fourth and ones. Actually is intriguing. If they're not going to ban it, if they're going to allow that to continue, I wonder if that's a real possibility. I actually don't mind Blake Bell coming back. He does bring something to the table. He is one of the best blocking tight ends in football. And he's a depth piece, considering as much fun as Jody Fortson is, he's not been healthy, and we've not seen the consistency from him. You're going to want to have those four tight ends at least at some point, right? They went in with four tight ends last year. That was the game plan. One got hurt. As much as we want the Chiefs to draft a tight end, Noah Gray has been improving. I'm not saying Noah Gray is a bona fide stud or a starting tight end in the NFL, but as long as Travis Kelce is putting up the numbers he's putting up, maybe I'm being foolish here, but Noah Gray can fill in, and he's done a good job filling in. Travis Kelce had maybe his best season of his entire career last year. Right. I know that's probably not going to continue for how many more years, but like, do you draft a guy? For example, different situation, different position. The Packers drafted Jordan Love thinking Rodgers was on his way out. Right. He wasn't on his way out. He won two more MVPs. You draft a tight end, first round, even 31. Travis Kelce still has three, four more years left in him. Then it's time to pay the piper. What do you do? You're not getting the value of a tight end two compared to a right tackle, a left tackle, a wide receiver one that's there all the time, an edge rusher. I just don't see the value of drafting a tight end early. That's my only pushback there.
100%. And I think that's kind of where the logic falls apart, right? Is that where the drafting him? I see Kyle in the chat bring up Luke Schoonmaker, a guy that we sat down at KC Sports Network. We sat down with him at the East-West Shrine Bowl, talked to him, had a good conversation with him. He's a fun guy. I like him at the tight end position. I think I saw Dalton Kincaid was brought up again, a guy that I think Delaney Walker told us when we were at the Combine that he really liked Dalton Kincaid. So there's guys out there that are good tight ends that they could still draft later, like day two, day three, and be
I'm okay fine with. There. I'm fine there. I'm just saying 31, 60, three, right? At that point, I'm out. That's just my personal opinion. I love, remember when Veach drafted a running back first round before he's trying to get under my skin. He even said, will Sterling have a heart attack if the Chiefs go running back with the 31 pick? Yeah, I will. I was pissed when they drafted Clyde. I told my roommate at the time, I go, anything but a running back. If they draft a running back, I'm out. I even had Clyde as my number one running back on the board. Wrong, but I wasn't happy. I don't want a running back first round. The Chiefs said again, I am going to be livid. It will irk me. They will have my ire. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm out. Let's do a couple quick hitters. If you want, actually, before we do that, we have something for everyone listening. Go to BetMGM, use code Arrowhead. And if you do, you get up to 1,000 paid back in bonus bets. If you don't win, minimum $10 bet required. New customers only, 21 plus and present in Kansas. Gambling problem? Call text 1-800-522-4700 Kansas. See full terms at betmgm.com or in the description below. Again, code Arrowhead. Who doesn't love to win money?
I love it.
Yeah, win some money. All right, let's get into some quick hitters here. How much credit should we give Joe Cullen for the defensive line turnaround last year? Because that was one of the most noticeable turnarounds in the entire NFL. It went from a huge weakness to potentially a strength, right? You know, second in sacks overall. How much credit does Joe Cullen get?
I think he gets a lot of it, because if you look at that defensive line, outside of a few changes, you know, Carlos Dunlap was added, obviously. There wasn't a lot that was changed with that defensive line, right? I think Chiefs fans obviously wanted more change with the defensive line than what happened with it. There were some guys added to it, George Karlaftis. But the jump that they took is more than just adding George Karlaftis and Carlos Dunlap, right? It's more than just having a few guys get healthy. It's more than Chris Jones just having the best year of his career. Obviously, that was huge. And I think a lot of the hat tip goes for Chris Jones. I think when you heard Chris Jones talk about his year, he talked about Joe Cullen. Like, you hear all these defensive linemen talk about how, like, this was the best year for a lot of those defensive linemen. You know, Frank Clark, maybe not his best year in the regular season, but, you know, you got to give him his respect in the playoffs. He's like third all time in postseason sacks, which is an absolutely crazy stat. And when you see the development of you know, George Karlaftis kind of running through that rookie wall of the guys on the interior, Colin Saunders specifically, a guy who really played himself into a good size contract. I think Joe Cullen is the main reason that we're talking about that. And we were lucky enough to sit down with Joe Colon over a shameless plug here about KC Sports. We were able to sit down with him and talk to him a little bit about just kind of that defensive line room as a whole. And it's a very fun room, but they got a lot of personalities in that room, and just kind of talk about kind of his coaching philosophy there. Go check that out. But no, I think that Joe Colon is one of those guys that his impact was seen, and you don't see that a lot with position coaches, right? But I think that was one of them where you sat down and you watched the film, you see it pop off of like what this defensive line was doing last year to this year. And that's not an indictment to whoever was coaching the defensive line. I think Brandon Daly was coaching the defensive lineman last year. Then he moved to linebackers, if I remember correctly. That's not an indictment on him. I think that's just how good Joe Colon is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I will also point out, this is very funny. Raymond goes, I got Casey bearding me in a COVID fever. Hello, bets. Drink and bet responsibly. Angry Drunken German, him and I have been on the same page with this all season long. Colon has been amazing. Every lineman that was healthy last year took step forward other than Nadi, who was the only one who really didn't. And it's tough for Derek Nadi when you are a run stuffer. You're never going to take a massive step forward. I do think Nadi was noticeably worse last year, but I don't think that's an indictment on Colon at all when everyone else, including Chris Jones, is giving you tons and tons of props. Let's do another quick hitter. Does Brett Veach trade up, trade back, or stay at 31?
I think he trades up, if anything, because if you look at all of the draft capital they have, I believe it's 12 picks. They don't have room for 12 guys on this roster. They're going to have to either not make those picks or cut those guys, and they're going to have UDFA guys that they're going to sign to. So if I had to put some money on it, I think that I would probably say moving up, try to get that guy that they, like last year, like a Trent McDuffie that they got their eye on, somebody like that.
Yeah, 100% with you. I don't see them trading back at all. It doesn't make much sense. Plus, you get that fifth-year option in the first round. I think that's going to be massive for a team, again, who's trying to get cost-controlled younger. They're showing us what they're trying to do. They're telling us what they're trying to do. We don't know what they're going to do, but the theme has been getting younger and cost-controlled. Yep. Another quick hitter. Is the number one overall pick overvalued?
That's a good question. I think so, probably. And when you start to think about it, how much is like C.J. Stroud worth? How much is a guy that hasn't played a snap of football worth? Really, when you start to think about it, I shouldn't say snap of football, a snap of professional football.
I've never played football. Draft me first overall. I have played football, but still, you get the point.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Don't be so nitpicky. A guy who hasn't played professionally, how much is he worth? Is he worth as much as the Carolina Panthers wanted to give up for him? We'll see.
I will say this. So I've done a pretty deep dive into this. It doesn't make much sense at all unless you have someone who is a consensus number one overall guy. And even then, it's not going to be guaranteed. Let me go through this list just really quickly. I've done it before in a couple of shows, Stacking the Box, I did with Ian McMillan today. But Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, those were consensus guys, right? Yep. There weren't really many questions about them. Let's say Kyler Murray, questions? His height was a major question.
Yeah, I think.
There, in my opinion, there were questions about Kyler Murray.
Yeah, baseball. I think the biggest thing was if he was going to go play baseball or not.
Were there questions about Baker Mayfield? Because I think there were questions about Baker Mayfield. I think he was a good quarterback, but I think there were questions. Some of it was off the field related.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say.
But there were questions.
Yeah.
The first quarterback drafted, let me go back, Mitchell Trubisky. Obviously, there were questions. That was beyond silly. That wasn't first overall, but that was still first quarterback taken. Blake Bortles was one of the first quarterbacks taken. He was third overall.
I don't remember that.
Jared Goff.
Yeah, well, it was him and Rosen, wasn't it?
Him and Rosen.
Yeah, so those were pretty questioned. It went back and forth for a while.
What about Carson Wentz? He was second overall.
Yeah.
There were some questions, small school.
There were some questions about
it. Then you get back to Andrew Luck, and then ties the thing up. So there weren't many questions about Andrew Luck coming out of college. There weren't a ton.
That's true. Yeah.
So my point is, of all the guys we just went through, there's been about three or four in the past 13 or so years that have been slam dunks at one. The Chiefs year was Eric Fisher because there was no real quarterback. EJ Manuel was the first QB taken. I don't want to count that one. But if you go back over the past 13 or so years, QB1 has been a huge question mark, and the first overall draft pick doesn't have the same value as other folks like to put on it. I think you're better trading to 2, 3, or 4 when there's not a guaranteed guy. I think the Panthers would have been better off trading to 2 or 3, taking either Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, whoever falls to him, because there's no legit guy in this draft, in my opinion. You look at the analysts, they don't believe there's a legit bona fide number one. The Bears did a great job trading out of that. The Bears got a king's ransom. I've had a recent revelation that I think number one is starting to get a little overvalued.
I can see that. I can see that for sure. And it's really interesting when you even bring up Andrew Luck too. Like, it was a debate of who was going to be the first quarterback taken with him or RG3. Like, that was the big question there. RG3 won the Heisman that year. Andrew Luck maybe should have won the Heisman that year. But there was a lot of stuff there. And that's a really good point. I don't think that, right. If you have somebody make the choice for you, right. Like, if to your point, I think the Colts sitting at 4 is probably a good spot for them. Right.
Yeah,
they can just sit there and just like, all right, this is who fell to us. Like, I don't think that's a bad choice.
Less pressure too on the organization. I know it's a silly thing. I know if you're the Panthers, you want to draft who you want to draft. You want to get your guy. I get it. But I don't think there's a guy. I don't think there's someone who's like, this is the dude who's taking us to the next level. I don't see it. And if you're wrong, you just set your franchise back so many years. You set your franchise back by trading away all that draft capital and not having the franchise QB. It's a risky proposition. I get it. Sometimes you have to risk it to get it. But the Chiefs traded up. They didn't trade up to 1. They still traded up and got their guy. Maybe I'm wrong here. But that's the way I feel.
I like it. I'm with you with that. You've converted me, Sterling. Now you've converted one on your conquest to convert the world into the overvalue of the number one pick. I'm with you. I'm joining your conquest.
I've only had a couple of these before. This one, the first of all, draft pick's overrated. The Chiefs should get Richie James, and Tre'Davious Ward was going to be a stud corner in the NFL.
Look at that one.
That one, really, I felt good about that one. And also Josh Allen. Josh Allen was one I was very high on. You know, Mizzou boy, him at Wyoming. I knew he was going to be good. I knew he was going to be good. We're going to do something here before you go. We're going to bring on our producer, Richard. And what we do is a must list. So a must list is something you recommend to everyone listening, whether it's a book, a TV show, or a movie, an album, just anything you want. It's called the must list. We'll start with Richard first. Richard has the glorious mustache, long hair.
Great mustache.
He's just a badass, man. He's just a good dude. So what do you have this week, Richard? What's your must list?
All right, we're gonna keep it normal for this week. I'll throw a spanner in the works for next once Connor's back. But we're gonna recommend where did I put this? A classic album. I'm a big fan of rock operas, so of course I have to recommend Tommy. Love Tommy. It's great, front to back. I'll put this on after we're done with the show, and I will listen to it to the very end. It's an awesome album. It's great. You don't have to just listen to Pinball Wizard. Listen to every goddamn song.
Before I get to Tucker, I want to say, my favorite rock opera or concept album, even Operation Mindcrime, Queensryche. Listen to Operation Mindcrime by Queensryche. That's not my must list, but I just wanted to point that out because that's my favorite rock opera / concept album. So badass. All right, Tucker, what do you have?
Okay, I've been recently watching a show. It's not for everybody. If people follow me on Twitter, they know that I'm a big I Think You Should Leave fan. A show that is very popular, but it's also very niche at the same time.
Is that the guy from, I don't know, man, we're all trying to figure out who did this?
Yes, that's that I Think guy, You Should Leave.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Yeah, funny dude.
I'm a huge I Think You Should Leave fan, very big fan of Tim Robinson as a whole. His comedic taste is very funny. So I've been watching kind of the precursor to I Think You Should Leave, Detroiters. That's on Paramount Plus. Detroiters is a phenomenal show. Only 2 seasons, I think 10 episodes each season. So it's a quick watch, a quick little roll through. It's on Comedy Central is what it was on, but the Detroiters I think is a must. And if you want to get into I Think You Should Leave, I think it's a really great precursor to get into that kind of Q zone of the comedy before you dive fully into just the full on skit show of I Think You Should Leave. So Detroiters, that's my must list.
I will do Jar of Flies, the EP by by Alice in Chains. It's so good. It's so good. Nutshell is so moving, impactful. It's beautiful. I love Alice in Chains. Love Layne Staley. So incredibly talented. Him and Jerry Cantrell just combined just make such gorgeous music. It's so bad what happened to Layne Staley, but love Alice in Chains and that album. Phenomenal. It's weird. It's mostly acoustic, but somehow it seems darker and grungier than almost anything that came out from that era without even an electric guitar. It's very impressive. So I'm going Jar of Flies, Alice in Chains. Tucker, you're a badass, dude. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Tucker Franklin, we had a little South Park Family Guy crossover.
Yeah.
That's what we're going with. KC Sports Network, Tucker Franklin. I never asked, does the D stand for Delano? You know, like FDR? Or is it like Tucker D. Franklin, FDR?
Well,
I feel like there's a little combo going on there.
Yeah, well, my middle name is Douglas. And what actually originally happened when I was making my Twitter handle, shout out Joshua Briscoe, Tucker Franklin was already taken. And so I threw my middle initial in there, Tucker D. Franklin. And then I felt like I had to put my middle initial in my Twitter name, right? Because I felt weird if it was like Tucker D. Franklin and just like Tucker Franklin. But now when I write my name everywhere, it's just Tucker Franklin. I don't really go by Tucker D. Franklin, but that's my Twitter handle. And so I just made it easy for everybody. So Tucker D. Franklin, there it is.
I love the story. I love that. Also, Briscoe did my stuff on Twitter because I have zero technologically. I'm very. What's technologically advanced but the opposite? I guess just untechnologically advanced would be the
Luddite, maybe.
What was that?
I was like, a Luddite? Are you a Luddite? What is it? Anti-tech? I don't know.
I'm just not good, dude. I'm 28, going on 82. But yeah, he did mine as well. And fun fact for those listening, Tucker Franklin and I, we kind of worked together for a little bit at Sports Radio 810. Thought he was going to be my producer, and then he bailed to do way, way tighter things. He was way, way tighter. But he's still in my phone as Tucker 810 intern.
There you go. Listen, you got to humble me somehow. And I think that's the perfect way to do it. You got to remember where you start. And that's where I will always be.
And look at the kid now. Look at the kid now. Tucker Franklin. Follow on Twitter at Tucker D. Franklin. Make sure you check out KC Sports Network. It is outstanding. For Richard, I am Sterling Holmes. Matt Connor back next week. I'll be joining Adam Best tomorrow, 4:30 to 5:30. Until then, we are out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.